Welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. This is episode 173. So this week, I've got a really great show for you. We have an interview with Brother Charles Harper, a returning guest. The last time he was on the show, he talked about his book, Freemasonry in Black and White. This time around, he is talking about his newest book, A Spurious State of Confusion. It's another book that dives even deeper into the clandestine masonry issue. But first, got some news to cover. We have a new Masonic Radio Theater Christmas special coming out soon. Brother Bill Hosler is working tirelessly to bring you this amazing new episode. Also, we released the official Whence Came You, or WCY, Masonic Gift Guide. So this is a compilation of great gift ideas, and one of the things in the issue is a company called Fossil Bluff. And I should mention that if you use the promo code MRT for Masonic Radio Theater, or if you use the promo code Whence Came You, all one word, he'll give you 15% off. So it's pretty cool. Just to throw that out there, I forgot to add the coupon. We actually didn't have it set up at the time that we released the catalog. So if you get a chance, check that out. It's some of the coolest Masonic emblems you've ever seen. So the gift guide is actually out on two platforms. It's on Magster, and it's also out on Issue, or is it spelled ISSU? And it should be working just fine on our website. So if you go to wcypodcast.com, it should be the post just before this one. It's there. You can read it. You can download it. You can download it. You can print it. You can give it to your significant other. Maybe they get some cool gift ideas for you. So anyway, with that, we will go right in to this fantastic interview with Brother Charles M. Harper Sr.
Crystallized bodies like exposed to the liquid ice. Lived inside a ghetto in hell, but got evicted twice. The man in the myth, I'm Hiram Abiff. I resurrect Jesus myself.
All right, everybody, we are lucky enough today to have with us a returning guest, Brother Charles Harper Sr. He is the author of Freemasonry in Black and White. You can check him out at freemasonryinblackandwhite.com. Brother Harper, thanks for taking time out of your schedule. I know you are a very busy man.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate you having me on the show.
So we've all heard your last interview. You've been on the Masonic Roundtable talking about a lot of the issues with the clandestine Masonic lodges. And that was the primary focus of your first book. And you really, really laid it out there. It was no more sweeping stuff under the carpet. You really put a lot of things out there. And so many Masons now really understand the importance of doing a little bit of research before contacting a lodge to become a member. So for that, man, I think I speak for everybody in the fraternity when I say, thank you for enlightening us all to the issue of what you call spurious masonry.
Well, I appreciate that. You know, I as much as I would love to take the accolades for that, you know, there have been a lot of Masons that have come before me that have put in the time and effort to provide a lot of the research so that I could go further than where they have brought it to kind of bring this into the nation's eye. And also I felt that it was my responsibility as a Master Mason to correct the irregularities that I saw before me. And I spent some time before I even wrote the book, you know, kind of complaining and asking what can be done about these problems, as I was a spurious Mason for five of those years myself. And having found no solution to the problem and being able to identify what kind of ramifications it was having on the fraternity and generally in society as it was bringing those unsuspecting people in, I almost felt that I had no choice to write about what was going on. So thank you. I appreciate it.
Hey, thank you. Just to dive right in, some people may not know that you actually have a brand new book out, and it's called A Spurious State of Confusion. Right off the website, it says, in the first book, the door was opened in an effort to present many issues now facing the fraternity. But in the second book, the focus has been narrowed unapologetically to a specific undermining issue in need of attention and a Masonic answer by Freemason. And again, it is available on Amazon.com, but perhaps you can give us a little bit of a rundown of what A Spurious State of Confusion is all about.
So what I was able to ascertain from my audience in response to the first book, a lot of things in the first book, specifically in the first half, have been covered to some extent by a lot of well-known Masons, the misconceptions about the craft and so forth. And the things that had not been covered broadly were aspects of racism, manipulation by those who, as spurious Masons, those who are fraudulent Masons. And we're not speaking of made Masons in an irregular fashion, but those that were made in lodges that were generated out of thin air because of one's desire to call themselves a Mason.
So just for the audience, you know, there is a difference, right, between irregularity and clandestine.
Absolutely.
Many people don't know. I mean, by today's standards, George Washington being made a Mason before the age of 21 is somewhat considered irregular. He's not clandestine. Please go on.
So what I decided to do was go further into the definition of clandestine and go out from what I was able to find. And this is in the second book, is as early as 1787 in the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania, the junior past grandmaster brought up the word clandestine. Interestingly enough, that word was originally used to describe a lack of amity between two Grand Lodges, not their structure. So, for example, the Grand Lodge of Ohio, the Grand Lodge of West Virginia at one time regarded each other as clandestine because there was a lack of amity. Now, Albert Mackey, obviously in the mid-1800s, came out with a more broad definition. Clandestine was basically any lodge, Mason or Grand Lodge, that wasn't made in a regular fashion. So the word clandestine took on a broad scope, and I felt the need to bring that scope back to a narrow aspect. So, and that's what I started the book with.
So with clandestine Masonry that you are specifically targeting is indeed the Masonic groups that start out of thin air. Like, I'm sure many of our listeners, you've done a search on Google, for instance, for Masonic groups, and you may have come across some that have a little three-letter extension after their name, something like LLC, Limit Liability Corporations, who call themselves Freemasons. What were your biggest struggles in writing this second book? I mean, you had to really narrow down to a topic that is very touchy with a lot of brothers.
Absolutely. So what I had to do with this book was, the first one was more of an exploration. The second one, I had to take a more academic look at the problem and identify where it was evolving from, so that we could better grasp how to find a solution. So what I was able to do is I was able to delve into a qualitative analysis, if you will.
Sure.
And try to identify the cultural ramifications that is producing this epidemic of spurious Masonry. Now, you have to be able to say without apologizing that the epidemic of spurious Freemasonry is more applicable in the African-American community. And okay, I had to find out why that was. So we had to go into a history lesson of the forming of the United States and how the predominant races through the years, blacks and whites, African-Americans and Caucasians, what was happening to cause such a disallowance of the following of our ancient usage that we adhere to that protect the integrity of our institution. And so we had to go into the realm of cultural relativism, identifying what aspects are affecting the culture and allowing this distrust predicated on ethnicity to facilitate advancement of spurious Freemasonry more prevalent in African-American community. And so I found that ethnic distrust predicated on generationally taught knowledge, what we call associative knowledge, which is taught mouth to ear. What we found is that repeated time and time again through generations produced an emotional distrust relevant to ethnicity. So what the spurious Masonic community does with this is they use that to manipulate men into believing why. For example, I was contacted just yesterday. And the gentleman said to me, "Why are you severing the black community with your rules about Freemasonry? Why are you separating the black community? You should be uniting the black community."
Right. So it's almost as if they are calling what you're doing wrong, essentially. I mean, I don't know another way to put it.
Wrong. That's exactly what it is. And, you know, the name calling ensues. I've been called an Uncle Tom because I'm dividing the black community. This has nothing to do with me, and all sorts of dismissive comments. But what he was exemplifying was the attitude that perpetuates this type of epidemic. They place a predication on it that it's a black or white thing instead of a Masonic thing.
Right.
So I explained back to him is the difference between uniting those who are legal Freemasons and those who are illegal. That's what it boils down to. And so the book was a journey into that very dark area of our nation's past, unapologetically explaining the past forward, the lack of the use of our Masonic tools, our Masonic tenets and applications that permeated the result that we have before us.
Right.
And without acknowledging that, the past and the present, there's really little chance of moving forward in the future of eliminating these things that undermine our institution.
Sure. I mean, it just seems to me, you know, and I don't know any different other than what I know about spurious masonry is what I've read in your books and just from the general conversations we've had. And I grew up in a very open atmosphere. I didn't know what black or white was as a child until I grew up and heard these differences. And what I find really interesting is in a society like the Masonic fraternity, where we are supposed to use the working tools to teach us about the equality of man, being on the level, and if these groups are truly using them to, you know, edify themselves, it's almost as if, yes, we can use the level to apply that to masonry, but the issue of race seems to supersede it.
Yeah, I think what you have is an influx of emotion and the inability to direct that emotion and allow reason to permeate. You know, as we talk about in the fraternity, the ability to learn to subdue your passions just in the first degree allows those arts and sciences in the second degree to develop our scope so that when we combine our passion with the improved intelligence, you know, the improvement of both spirituality and our intellect, you know, when both those things are improved and balanced, we find a good solid base for reasoning.
Right.
Well, if our emotions, you know, part of that first degree, if we're not able to suppress those emotions enough to allow the rationalism of what is to be seen, well, that emotion starts to filter in every aspect of the growth of a Freemason. So even those who have been in the craft for 20 or 30 years may have not given attention to that aspect of their emotions. And when confronted with an emotional issue, which racism, prejudice, discrimination, all of these kind of negative things, when they're confronted with that emotional base that has not been given attention, that's what comes forward. And you see it in social media all the time. You
yeah.
know, they'll respond with emotion rather than some kind of rational logic to describe what's going on and how to respond.
Right. And we see it all the time in you know, groups. I mean, I'll call the group out. I mean, All Things Masonic is the one place where I see a huge issue with the clandestine and quote-unquote regular lodges all the time. I see it in groups mm-hmm. like Irregular, The Great Debate. Of course, you know, that's what that group is all about, is discussing those differences. But right. the amount of emotion that runs so high, it's just incredible.
It's explosive.
It really, I mean, it is, because the second, it's like if you call somebody irregular, it's almost immediately like yes. you're like a racial thing.
Well, consider this for a minute. Consider before 1992, Prince Hall Masonry was not recognized as regular Freemasonry. Even though as early as 1897, the Grand Lodge of Washington extended recognition to the Prince Hall Masons of that state.
Right.
So imagine that tension within the Prince Hall community for hundreds of years.
Sure.
Now take the same member of the Prince Hall Freemasonry, and tell them that they're irregular or they're not recognized after they've endured not only over 200 years of being told that they're clandestine in the term understand through Mackey, but also you have spurious Masonic groups growing at the same time in the 1900s. Now they're defending their regularity against both the U.S. Grand Lodges and the spurious lodges that are growing.
Sure.
So that emotion just resonates. Now, if you take that emotion and you place it in the spurious Masonic community, they're even more aggressive because they don't even have the validity of the regular origins of Prince Hall Masonry to right. defend themselves.
Right. Like, I got in a conversation 2 or 3 months ago where we were talking about the Prince Hall Grand Lodge. And the gentleman came to me and he was looking to join a lodge, and he was an African-American gentleman, and he had asked about Prince Hall or a regular lodge. And I told him, I said, really, it's up to you. And he goes, well, what about regularity, issues of regularity? I've heard a lot about it. And somehow we got on the topic of having a charter, and I ended up having to tell him, well, technically Prince Hall has a charter that dates before anything we have.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's a very,
That's an unknown, that's a pretty well-known and though unknown fact.
Yeah. So I want to go back to your first book for just a moment. Now that it's been out a while, people have had a chance to read it, to digest it, to know the journey that you've had as once a clandestine Mason yourself and admitting and going through the regular process. This book has jumped into a popularity pool. I mean, people really like it.
Thank you.
So I have heard a rumor that there may be something coming out about the book, and true or not, I don't know what you can tell us about the project, but I'll leave it up to you, and I won't ask any further questions about anything, and I'll let you explain to the folks listening on this pretty exciting thing that may or may not be happening.
So I've been working with a production company, and I won't say their names yet because I can't really release anything yet, but I've been working with a media production company who is very interested in telling the story of how men are brought into these organizations and how the confrontation when confronted by a regular Mason about their Masonic standing, what do they do with that, and how do they proceed from the spurious state of confusion that they're in, and they proceed to petition a regular lodge. Now that sounds very cut and dry, but as we just, you know, spoke about a minute ago, it's a very deep emotional process. You know, it's almost sometimes you have to deal with these unfortunate victims, and I call them victims because that's what they are. They've been victimized. They've been led to believe one thing, whether it's been an underhanded leading them to believe or it's been overtly done. They're caused great bodily harm in most cases, to the extent where they're urinating blood or they have fractured bones. And in some cases, guys have even been murdered in these processes. And so the project that is in development is extracting these men from these organizations and teaching society about the fraternity, the fraud that's out there of those presenting themselves as Freemasons and aren't, and then the journey from there into regular Freemasonry and finding a lodge to petition and all those sort of great things so they can actually take advantage of the rights and privileges we have as Freemasons. So it's in a process, and I'll say that, it's in a process. But as far as going into any further detail, I'm biting my tongue almost till it's bleeding because I want to say more. but I can't, just to protect the integrity of that process.
Sure.
It's a very delicate issue trying to do something like that.
Sure, sure. And so for the guys at home, Charles and I have talked about this before. It is a very exciting project, and I know you're all going to love it once it happens.
Yes.
But other than that, I will leave it at that. So, Charles, do you have any speaking engagements coming up right now? Where are you going to be? Where can we find where you're going to be?
So I just got back from Dubai. I did a presentation in Dubai at a military lodge, a Prince Hall military lodge, which was fascinating to be in the culture there. The military lodge was composed mostly of English Masons, and I did a presentation at Land of Shinar Military Lodge, number 213, I think what it is, under the Most Worshipful Prince Hall Grand Lodge of Oklahoma.
Really?
And that was a fascinating experience because even though it's a Prince Hall Lodge, which you would, more times than not are predominantly African American,
right,
there was an array of brothers, you know, ethnic brothers at this event. And they were fascinated by what's going on in the United States in relation to spurious Freemasonry and the cultural differences between the United States and where they're stationed there in Dubai.
Right.
That was great.
Dubai. I mean, Holy cow, that sounds amazing.
I was invited by the worshipful master there, Cornell Wallace. In fact, he's still the worshipful master there for one more term. And we actually connected on Facebook, and we were able to put that trip together, and it was phenomenal. It was a long flight.
Yeah, no doubt. That just sounds incredible. Phenomenal. I'd like to pick your brain for a second. I have known many brothers who have been in active combat zones, who have participated in masonry and had Masonic lodges in frontline battle areas. These lodges are almost always Prince Hall lodges. And I wondered, is there a reason that most of the military lodges I know of overseas are always Prince Hall?
You know, that's a fascinating question. I wouldn't really have the definitive answer. I could speculate for you, but I know other brothers who would have, like Ralph McNeil Jr., would have a more definitive answer. But it seems to me, and there are U.S. Grand Lodges that do have military lodges overseas.
Sure.
But if you think back, I mean, Prince Hall himself was made a Master Mason in a military regiment lodge.
Right.
Lodge number 441. So it kind of goes in line with the Prince Hall masonry that they would have military lodges. So I won't say that they're exclusively Prince Hall, though the one I visited was. And I was able to visit that lodge by virtue of my membership under the United Grand Lodge of England, is how I was able to visit that lodge as a tile lodge. But there are more than just Prince Hall lodges that are military lodges.
Sure.
They just happen to be the more popular, I think, because of the desire to be in the fraternity.
It does. Now that you bring that up about Prince Hall and where he was made a Mason, I mean, it almost seems very apropos that that's the way it works out.
It's almost a romantic idea.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. Very cool.
Yeah, so as far as other events we have coming up, you know, during the wintertime, it's holiday times and so forth. And,
sure.
And, I don't really do a lot of things during the family time, but coming in January, I know I'll be back in Elgin. They've asked me to return and do a different presentation.
In Illinois?
The first one was about St. John's the Baptist, and this one they really want me to do my presentation about a spurious state of confusion.
Sure.
And so from there to, I think we're going to be in Oklahoma, California, New York. I'll be in Virginia, Masonic Week. I'll be in Virginia.
Oh, great.
Detroit. I'll be in Detroit in January. Come January, we start picking the engagements back up again.
This is great. Great news. So if we want to keep an eye on your speaking engagements, this is on freemasonryandblackandwhite.com, correct?
Yes. You can go to my it's earmarked presentation dates.
Okay.
And I keep the most the next date coming up at the top, so you don't have to scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page.
Awesome.
So I keep the next date coming up current at the top of the page, but you can follow me. And as far as what we're doing, as far as progressing the moral progression of this craft through intercultural communication and so forth, we're definitely having some movement. You can start to see it more in social media, but even more than that, in the personal communication as I travel around, now the world, presenting these topics about Freemasonry that not many people can discuss because they're either biased or they don't want to present themselves in the wrong light.
Sure.
We're starting to see a real improvement now, and all we have to do is continue to accelerate into this more diverse presentation of Freemasonry.
Very well said. And again, I've seen you talk a few times, and the last time I was lucky enough to see you talk was at the Pleiades Annual Masonic Symposium, where you just did the intercultural speak.
Yes.
And it was phenomenal. So if anybody listening, you do get a chance to see if Harper's going to be in your neck of the woods, if he's going to be within 4 hours, it really is worth the time and the drive to go see him talk. I know Brother Rob Walk Jr. came in from PA to see you, and we're up in the Chicagoland area, so it was a little hike for him, but I know he enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. It was a fantastic time, and I would invite anybody out there, again, if you have a chance to see Brother Harper have a talk or presentation, go to it. Check out his website, freemasonryinblackandwhite.com. You're on Facebook, and you have something going on YouTube now, don't you?
I do. I just started a YouTube page where I'm going to be presenting different insights. They're more relative to the public, but I'm going to be using, obviously, Masonic philosophy to better explain things in a way that, you know, because Freemasonry, even though we are Freemasons, Freemasonry is for the world.
Right.
And we do keep certain secrets for ourselves, but the purpose of it is to enlighten the world.
Right.
And so I found Freemasonry to be a very beneficial construct to explore intercultural communication, you know, and delve past those boundaries. So the insights that I'm going to be presenting on YouTube are kind of relative to those insights that, you know, come about through different conversations privately and publicly. And I want the public to be able to take advantage of these type of communication examples.
This is fantastic. So again, the website is freemasonryinblackandwhite.com. We have a YouTube channel. We've got the books are on Amazon. Again, the name of the books are Freemasonry in Black and White and A Spurious State of Confusion. You can find Brother Charles Harper at charlesmharpersenior.com. And he does some motivational speaking as well. Brother, I can't thank you enough for being on the show.
Brother Johnson, it's always a pleasure to talk to you both privately and publicly. And of course, I look forward to visiting you in Lodge. I got to get up there to Waukegan.
Oh, man. It's a hike. But yeah, if you come up
a little bit.
You'll be sure to watch me bungle some ritual for you. It'll be a laugh, but we'll have fun.
I can't wait. So I'll talk to you soon.
All right. I hope you really enjoyed the interview. Brother Charles Harper is always such a great guest to have on. His views on things are very professional, and he's just full of knowledge because he's lived that experience. So I hope you guys all go out and you pick up your copies of Freemasonry in Black and White if you haven't read that yet, or if you have read that, I hope you guys pick up the copy of A Spurious State of Confusion, and we will keep you posted on the kind of something that he alluded to in the interview that is pretty interesting. So we'll keep you posted on all of that just as soon as we hear about it. And that's it for this week, guys. Find us on Facebook, follow on Twitter at WhenceCameU. Check us out on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com. You can email me there, or you can email me at admin@wcypodcast.com. Make sure you check out all of the great things in the gift guide, and you keep your ear open for the new Masonic Radio Theater coming out very soon. Just a reminder that there will be no show on the 21st or on the 28th. I'll be taking my normal 2 weeks off for the Christmas and New Year, and we will be back on the 4th. Of January. So you'll be listening to this one on the 7th, and we'll have one more episode on the 14th, and then we'll be back on the 4th. The Masonic Roundtable, however, I believe we are doing shows every Tuesday except the 23rd, so most likely we will have a show on the 30th, I think. The next episode of that is going to be this Tuesday, so if you're listening on Monday, we'll be going live on Tuesday night at 10, 9 Central, and we'll be talking about, I believe, unless the topic changes, the Swedish Rite of Freemasonry. So it's going to be pretty interesting. I urge you guys to check it out. I think we're having a special guest come on to talk about it. So until next week, stay on the level. For Wentz King, I'm Robert Johnson.
With the pistol grip, punks getting pistol whipped. Positive and negative, I'm on a dark crystal. Crystallized bodies like exposed to the liquid ice. Lived inside a ghetto in hell, but got evicted twice. The man in the myth, I'm Hiram Abiff. I resurrect Jesus myself, and buy him a spliff. I build pyramids, parallel portals to other worlds. Married to Mary Magdalene, but still touch other girls. The widow's son, the wickedest one. So get your North Face on, sucker, the winter's begun. I summon winds, walls of water taller than towers. Gather your pallbearers, I'm burying all you cowards. The merciless Ming, Connecticut's king. Archangel who was born on this earth with no wings. And Gabriel's horn sings, and the father returns. I cook a marshmallow on a stick while your soul burns. The Grand Leveler. The Grand Leveler. Grand Leveler. The Grand Leveler. Three is the magic number. The stars on the belt of the hunter. The pyramids of Giza that were built directly under. The knocks on the door that signifies my brother. We spread light in winter, then go dark for the summer. I'm absent, minded, sipping on green absinthe. Unlock my brain to travel through Pan's labyrinth. Lab trap full of beakers and bubbling Bunsen burners. Dungeon full of murderers, chained to the steel girders. God's peer through telescopes, heavenly observers. Aliens visit Earth and brought us stone workers. Stargates and black holes, angels and black crows. All do the same job, they transport souls. Anunnaki came to the planet to take gold. These have been the ways since the days of old. Three wise men, three kings, etc. The Dark Star Emperor, Orion Nebula, the Grand Leveler. The Grand Leveler. The Grand Leveler. The Grand Leveler. The Grand Leveler.
Thank you.